You're listening to another inspirational message from Bell Road Church. If you live in the North Phoenix area and are looking for a church community, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great place for the whole family where you can have fun and grow closer to Jesus. For more information, visit us at www.bellroadchurch.com.
By the way, my name is Tyrone, the pastor here, and just again want to welcome you to Bell Road Church. Thanks for joining us. I'm excited about this message today. We're going to talk about the Christian life and the importance of the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. And here's what I want you to catch. It is impossible for us to live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's important for us to really understand this, and not just intellectually understand it, but my prayer is that we would really live this thing out. It's impossible. Everybody say impossible. For us to live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit working in our life and empowering us to live this life that we want to live and that God has called us to live as we follow Jesus as Christians. Now, one of the amazing things about Christianity, this really is, if you think about it, it's mind-blowing. At that moment of salvation, when you and I realize, man, I need Jesus. I've sinned. And I deserve death, but Jesus took my place of death on the cross. He died for my sins. And so when I ask for forgiveness and I commit to making Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life and following him, at that moment, something amazing, really mind-blowing happens. And that is God himself comes and lives inside of us. And the fact that God, the creator of everything, the one who spoke the stars into existence, lives inside of us, that should change how we live. And it's just crazy to think about God himself, okay? The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. You got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is fully God. And he has made his home, if you've committed your life to Jesus, he has made his home in you. That's pretty awesome. And so we need to make sure that we don't neglect the role of the Holy Spirit of God working in us and through us and empowering us. So that's what we're talking about here this morning. It is impossible for us to live this Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pray that God will help us to live this thing out and receive this word here in these next few moments. So why don't you join me in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for how real you are. We're thankful for your presence in our life. We're thankful for you, Holy Spirit, how you empower us, strengthen us, encourage us. I pray that today, over these next few moments, that you would speak to us, that you would really ignite maybe even greater faith in who you are and what you want to do in our life, that you would ignite faith in us to live this life that you've called us to live, and the ability to look to you and to lean on you on a regular basis. Lord, I pray that all of us here that commit to following you would be people of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and seeing the fruit of the Spirit coming out of our life. I pray that in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, again, we want to lift up the Seahawks to you because we pray that they would keep this winning streak. So Lord, help them to win again today. Against the Chargers, amen. Thank you for praying with that, for that with me. Appreciate it. Have you ever thought to yourself, man, I wish life was easier? You ever thought that before? You realize life is hard, and you're like, man, life's so hard. Why can't life be easy? I wish life was easy, and we've all been there, right? I think, by the way, actually, the fact that we all have this desire for life to be easy is an indicator that we were meant for something greater than what we're experiencing right now. The fact that we have this desire inside of us to also live forever, in fact, our culture is infatuated with it, okay? You know, think about the whole vampires and all, and you live forever and everything, you know. To live for eternity is something that we long for. The fact that we long for that and we long for an easy life is an indicator that we are meant for something better, for something different, a different place. And that place actually exists. It's called heaven. And we will experience that. But for now, we're in this life, and this life tends to be hard at times, right? Sometimes we have those good days. You ever had those easy days where like everything falls into place and you're like, man, I'm doing good. Work is good. No one's mad at me today. I got a skip in my step. I'm feeling great. Like I got things figured out. Life is good. And you feel like, man, I got all under control. Wow, I finally arrived. And then the next day happens, right? And you're like, it's hard and it's tough and everyone's mad at me today. You know, and I'm frustrated and I'm struggling and life is hard again. And we find ourselves wishing, just like we did before, I wish life was easy. We've all been there. I can remember actually growing up, you know, something hard would happen and I'd be like, Mom, that's not fair. Why does life have to happen like this? It's just not fair. And my mom would look at me and she'd say, life's not fair. And I hate it when she said that. I can remember repeatedly several times. Life's not fair. And in my mind, I thought, I don't think she's right. Because life should be fair. And I'm going to figure out a way for life to be fair. But then you, as you grow up, you realize, Mom was right, as is usually the case. And life's not fair because life is hard. Well, something interesting happens when you and I realize how real Jesus is and our need for him and our need to follow him. And we commit our life to following him. We're like, man, this is awesome. I love it. I've met Jesus. His presence is real in my life. I'm living for him. I love this. And as we commit to following him, then sometimes we falsely think, well, life's going to get easier, right? And what usually happens is life gets harder. Have you noticed this? It was actually easier when I wasn't a Christian, but now that I am a Christian, I'm committed to following Jesus. Now, why is life harder? And the reason for that is because there's this thing called spiritual opposition that we all face. Spiritual warfare. That's what the Bible talks about. The devil, the enemy, doesn't want you and I to serve God. He doesn't want us to be close to God, to be in relationship with him. And so the moment we make that commitment, the battle is on. And so we feel that, don't we? We feel like it's harder. Like, why? It was easier to not serve Jesus. And so some people go back to that because it's easier. And it's harder because of this spiritual warfare, this opposition that we face. So life is hard, and sometimes as a Christian, life can be harder. That is why, friends, we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to live this life. It's so important. Way back in the beginning of Acts, and we've been on this journey this whole year, and we started the first week of January in Acts chapter 1. We looked at verse 8. This verse 8 of Acts chapter 1 is the foundational verse of the entire book of Acts. It's the foundational verse of this whole series called Go Forth, and I believe it's a very foundational verse for our life as well. It's so important to us. That's why we put those numbers up on the wall right over there. 1:8 is a reference to Acts 1:8 and a reminder to us for what that says. And Jesus spoke those words in verse 8. He's standing there looking at his disciples, and he says, hey, guys, I want you to go into Jerusalem, and you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you're going to be my witnesses, Jesus said, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus, mind you, he's already given his disciples the great commission. You guys are going to take the message of the gospel, and you're going to go make disciples, teach everyone, all the disciples, what I have taught you. And so you're going to go do that, and you're going to spread this to the ends of the earth. Jesus promised in that moment, I'm going to be with you. And now in this moment, before he ascends up into heaven in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, before you go and do this great commission that I've given you, I want you to go wait because you're going to need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, what's interesting to note is the disciples actually already have the Holy Spirit, because you read about that at the end of the book of John. So they already have the Holy Spirit. They're already disciples of Jesus. They're saved. They're true believers of Jesus. Yet Jesus would say, I want you to wait because you're going to be clothed with power from on high was another way he had talked about it. And before you live out what I've called you to live out, you're going to need to be empowered by my Spirit. And so that's why Jesus in verse 8 says, go and wait for that, because you're going to need the Holy Spirit. And that's why we come back to, as we look at this story today in Acts 18 and chapter 19, we're just reminded that if we're going to live the Christian life, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be at work in our life. In fact, it's impossible to live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. Impossible. So what happens is, for many of us, as we think about sharing our faith and going forth, because again, that's the theme of this message, right? The series is called Go Forth. We want to live like the disciples lived. We want to be a church that spreads the gospel in the city that God has planted us in. And so for some of us, we get a little nervous thinking about that. And if we admit it, we're a little bit scared, maybe even freaked out. Especially if you're an introvert. To initiate conversations as an introvert can be like, oh, I don't know, it's kind of scary. I'd like to share my faith. Yes, I love you, Jesus. But to talk and initiate can be a scary thing. And so my encouragement to you is to push through that because God wants to use all of us in our own different way, in our own giftings, no matter what your personality is, introvert, extrovert, God wants to use you. And so whatever degree of fear you have, push through that. In fact, we've adopted a phrase around here, and that is do it scared. There's some things we got to just do, and we may feel scared, but do it anyway. So do it while you feel scared, and you'll be glad that you did. Do it scared. That's why I love this blessed strategy that we talked about last week that I want to throw out again quickly, because I think this is a very practical way that you and I can love the people around us, and it's a way that can open doors for us to share Jesus and to share the gospel. So the blessed strategy is this. It takes the word blessed, makes it acrostic, and the B stands for begin with prayer. So you and I would take time to pray. God, who do you want me to bless today? That's the whole goal of the blessed strategy, by the way. I want to be a blessing to people. I want to be a blessing to my work, to my neighborhood. And so you start by praying, God, who do you want me to bless today? Who is it that you would lay on my heart that I could connect with, that I could talk to, that I could reach out to today? L stands for listen. So I think part of that is listening to God, who he's speaking to you, who he's laying on your heart. But then take some time to listen to people. As you live life, as you work with people, don't be the talker and always talk about yourself. Be a good listener. Because as you listen and people share their heart and their stories, it opens them up to trust you and it opens up a better relationship. And then the next step could be eat. That's what the E stands for and bless. Eat. Sit down and have a meal with people. Invite them out for a cup of coffee. A bunch of you got excited about this one last week. Okay, this is a fun one. We can sit down and enjoy food with people and we just have fun. That's what E stands for. The first S stands for serve. So as you listen to people, as you spend time with them, as you're eating food with them, drinking coffee, whatever it is, you'll learn ways that you can actually serve them and help them. And the last S stands for story. Or I like to say, share your story. When the time is right, take an opportunity to share about Jesus, how he's rescued you, and the difference that he has made in your life. And so the goal is this, that every day you and I would practice one of those missional practices. Do one of those missional practices every single day. Pray. I guess I would do that one every day. Start off the day, God, who do you want me to bless today? I think a good thing to do at the end of the day is, God, who did I bless? Was I a blessing to anybody today? Or how many people was I able to bless today? Develop that as a part of the rhythm of your life, your prayer life, your thought life, your journaling life. Take time to listen or eat or serve or share your story. Do one of those every single day. And that's just a great practical way for many of us to push through the fear of going forth and sharing the gospel with the world around us. Now, if you're scared, I want you to know that you're in good company because everybody struggles with fear to one degree or another, even the mighty Apostle Paul. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 18 and jump all the way down to verse number 9. We're going to see Paul himself, the guy that's seen great miracles, that's seen lots of people saved and come to faith in Jesus, the guy who's planting churches everywhere he goes. Even that guy struggles with fear. If Paul struggles with fear, we're all going to struggle with fear. And so God does something cool in verse 9 of Acts chapter 18. Comes and speaks to God to Paul through a vision. It says, "And one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision," verse 9, "do not be afraid." Why did God say that? Because Paul was struggling with fear. Now let me pause right there. Paul is, by the way, he is now in the city of Corinth. He's left Athens. Athens is where we left him last week. Remember, Athens was, you know, full of idols, hundreds, maybe thousands of idols. It was called the city of a forest of idols. So lots of wickedness there in Athens. But Corinth, by comparison, could be even called more wicked than Athens. Corinth was the political center, the commercial center of Greece, but there was a huge reputation for wickedness within the city of Corinth. And so Paul is beginning to face some opposition, it appears. He's facing, honestly, a lot of the same issues that we as a church face today in our culture. Issues of sexuality and sexual immorality and homosexuality. That's just a normal part of that culture. We think these are new issues. No, Paul is facing it in the city of Corinth, right here in Acts chapter 18. In fact, there is a temple to Aphrodite in the city of Corinth. And one of the ways that they would worship in this temple, we got a picture of it here, what's left of it, that is. One of the ways they would worship is people would go to the temple and they would have sex with one of the temple prostitutes as a form of worshiping in that culture. And there was hundreds of temple prostitutes there to help people in their aid of worshiping and worshiping Aphrodite. And this was a part of the culture that Paul is ministering to right here. We think we got it bad in our country. Look at Corinth in the first century here. Okay, so this is where Paul is. So apparently, as he's preaching the gospel, he sees some good fruit, but then he's got some opposition. Things are starting to happen. Paul probably knows the signs by now. He's been to enough cities where he's been, you know, riots have started. You know, he was stoned, left for dead, all that kind of stuff. He's getting a little bit afraid. So God comes to him in this vision. In verse 9, that's what we just read. God says, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking, goes on to say. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And some of you maybe need that encouragement today. God wants you to know he is with you as well. I'm with you. There's no need to fear. I am with you. He says that specifically to Paul. And he says this, no one is going to attack or harm you because I have many people in this city. Apparently, Paul needed that word of encouragement there. Because then from that time on, if you read on to the next verse, he stays for another year and a half doing ministry in that city. Paul needed that reminder, and you and I perhaps need that reminder today where God would say, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I am with you. And how is he with us? His Spirit who lives inside of us, who's come to make a home in us. The Holy Spirit is alive, and he wants to work in you. He is with you always. And so remember, we cannot live this Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. We all need the Holy Spirit working in and through us. So there's this couple named Priscilla and Aquila who get saved in Corinth. They become leaders in the church. And Paul really likes these guys so much that when he decides to leave Corinth and go back to Asia, he takes them with him. And so after a couple years of ministry there in Ephesus, him, Priscilla, and Aquila, they leave. They leave Greece. They go across the water back over to Asia. And they go to Ephesus, which, interestingly enough, is a place that Paul wanted to go to years before. But if you're familiar with his story and his journeys and a couple chapters earlier, if you remember, the Holy Spirit didn't allow him to go there. The Holy Spirit directed him elsewhere, probably because there was a timing and some fruit in some other cities, but Ephesus, the timing wasn't right there, which is just another reminder, we can trust God's timing with our life and certain circumstances in our life. Paul wanted to go to Ephesus earlier, God said no, but now here he is finally, years later, in Ephesus, make some great connections. And the guys are like, hey, we want you to stay with us, Paul. And Paul's like, man, I'd love to, but I actually have a few things I gotta take care of. I gotta go back to Jerusalem. And so what he does is he leaves Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus. They start their business, which they're tent makers also, just like Paul is. They launch their business. They're kind of, in a sense, preparing the way for Paul to come back to Ephesus, which Paul is going to do later on. So let's jump to verse 24 and look at what's going on while Paul's away, what's going on here in Ephesus. Verse 24 says, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home. What are they doing? Say, hey, let's invite him over. Let's have some food with this dude. They're living out the blessed strategy right here, okay? So they're listening to him. Hey, come on over and hang out with us. Have some food. And here's what they do. It says, and they explain to him the way of God more adequately. So here's this guy who knew about Jesus, loved Jesus, preaching Jesus, but he only understands the whole baptism of John and repentance and following Jesus, but he doesn't know about the Holy Spirit. And so Priscilla and Aquila, who've been hanging out with Paul, they've seen the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, they take him in and they explained to him the way of God, like I says, more adequately, the full gospel of what Jesus did right before he ascended to heaven and sending his Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit. So Priscilla and Aquila take time to teach Apollos that. And wouldn't you know, Apollos actually listens and receives their teaching. Now Apollos, remember, great speaker, great communicator, great leader. He's a believer in Jesus who's come from Alexandria, like it said, which is north. Egypt is that country. And he's come all the way up to Ephesus. He's preaching Jesus. Lots of people follow him. Lots of people believe in him. So he's got influence. He could have been a guy who is full of pride and could have been like, well, like, what do you guys know? Like, you guys live in Greece. What do you guys know? Like, I'm closer to Jerusalem. I've heard these stories. I know more about Jesus than you do. Who on earth are you? Who are you to teach me? Look at all these people I got following me. I mean, that could have potentially taken place if he was full of pride, but Apollos shows that he was humble and he was teachable and he receives their teaching. And I love the example of Apollos. Apollos becomes a key player in the early church from this moment on as he connects with Paul and these and this crew and the believers. In fact, Apollos may be one of the authors or may be the author of Hebrews. He's one of the guys they think might have authored Hebrews. And so here's a guy who is teachable enough to learn the rest of the story. He's humble, and he's hungry. And I love those two qualities. Are you humble? Are you hungry? Those are qualities I talk about to our leaders. Man, when we're looking for people to serve and to lead in our church, we want them to be humble. We want them to be hungry, wanting to grow and learn and be closer to Jesus. They're full of humility. They walk in humility. It's not just about them, but they're thinking about others. Okay, great qualities. Apollos models those qualities, and I love that. So they hang out for some time, and then Apollos decides, I want to go over to Greece. I want to do some ministry in Corinth and Athens, where you all just came from. And so Priscilla and Aquila are like, hey, we can hook you up. And so they send him off with, you know, connections and say, go and meet these people. And so Apollos takes off. While all of this is going on, Paul's gone back to Jerusalem, and he started missionary journey number 3. So that's where we're at here today. Paul is now on missionary journey number 3 because he's taken a break in this little part of the story here. He's gone back to all these churches he planted in missionary journey number 1. He's encouraging them, and then he finally rolls back into the town of Ephesus. And that's where we find Paul coming into Ephesus in verse 1 of chapter 19, which is kind of interesting because, you know, the Bible's broken down into verses and chapters. And usually it makes sense where it's broken down, but sometimes it doesn't. Have you noticed that? Like, why did they break up that verse right there? That's really weird. Why did they stop the chapter right there and start a new chapter? This is one of those instances. Okay, usually it's fine and good and dandy, but this time it's like the story of Ephesus is clearly not over, and they just like chop it right there. Chapter 19. And so sometimes it gives you this impression like, oh, something new is about ready to happen. Well, it's still the story of Ephesus. So this is one of those places where it doesn't completely make sense. Though, let me just say, we still like having the chapters and verses, right? They're good, they're important, regardless of how accurate they may be or may not be, it doesn't matter, because if I said, hey, right now, guys, go to the book of Acts and go to that story about Ephesus, can you go there right now? And you'd be like, yeah, sure. Where is that at? You'd be thumbing through the book of Acts, looking at Ephesus, 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 Ephesus. I'd be like, well, it's about 20 pages into the book of Acts in my Bible. I don't know about your Bible, but flip in about 20 pages and see if you find it there. And you'd be like, Ephesus, Ephesus. Okay, so it's much easier for me to stand up here and say, hey, chapter 19, verse 1. So let's go there. Verse 1 says this, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Which is kind of an interesting first question. First question regarding the Holy Spirit. Yes. Here we go. They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? Well, John's baptism, they replied. We'll keep going on here, reading on verse 4. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. Okay, so that's what they believe. That's what they've been taught. So verse 5 says, on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Okay, interesting story here, interesting thing that takes place. Paul rolls into town, comes across some disciples. His first question is, hey, you received the Holy Spirit yet? They're like, what? Like, what the what? Why, you haven't heard about that? Like, and Paul's like, what the what? You haven't heard about the Holy Spirit? Like, this is pretty important. Okay, so now this is about 25 years after Acts chapter 2, the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 25 years approximately has passed since that moment. And so now Paul is showing us this is still important for the life of the believer. So this is where we, you know, theologically and doctrinally, you know, there can go lots of different directions here. But one of the things you wrestle with is, are these disciples that Paul is talking to, are they really true disciples? Like, they don't know about the Holy Spirit. They haven't been baptized into the name of Jesus. What, so how can they really truly be disciples? And so my thought is, I think so. They can be true believers. They actually were probably believers who heard Apollos preach when he first rolled into town. Because remember, Apollos preached about John's baptism. And what was their response to Paul? We just have only heard about and taught and John's baptism. So these were probably from Apollos' early ministry before Priscilla and Aquila had had that conversation with him. But still leads us to that question. Can a person be a true believer without being baptized in the name of Jesus and without knowing about the Holy Spirit? Is that even possible? And theologically, you know, we can have big debates, good debates on this, and people can struggle with this, but I feel like, honestly, it's possible that someone can be a true believer yet not know about those things. As long as you know about the basic foundation, like, hey, you know, Jesus died on the cross, you're called to follow him, are you willing to commit and follow him? Yes, I'm willing to commit and follow him. Okay, great. Okay, so now you are a disciple, you are a follower of Jesus. Okay, so there's lots of other doctrine and other things that maybe they need to learn, we need to learn. And so you think about even the original disciples of Jesus. When did they become saved? When did they get it? It doesn't seem like that happened until Acts chapter 2, really, and it fully. Along the way, they were struggling. Like the disciples, the original disciples, they never prayed the sinner's prayer. Did they really even get saved? We could ask that. Sometimes we get caught up in the importance of the sinner's prayer. Have you prayed the sinner's prayer? Which, you know, where do you find that even in the Bible? Where did the original disciples pray? We don't have any record of that. When did the original disciples even get water baptized, for that matter? We don't know. So were they even really saved? I think so, because they did a good job of starting the church and preaching Jesus. So they had committed, but they at one point in their life, but along the lines, they learned more and more what it meant, who God was, learned more about theology and doctrine. And I think it's important for us to understand that, because we experience the same thing, right? Where there's this progression of growth that we all have in our life. I didn't fully understand certain things that I do now 20 years ago. And maybe you're at a place now where, like, I genuinely love Jesus and I want to follow him, but man, we do communion today in the service. I don't even know what that means. That's okay. You are still saved. You're still going to heaven, even if you don't understand what communion means. And there's so many other issues that we could talk about, but it's funny how we even find ourselves believing things as Christians, as true believers, that aren't even biblical. Yet, God's grace is in that, thankfully. I mean, there's things like God won't give you more than you can handle, and some people genuinely believe that. Oh, that's okay. God won't give you more than you can handle. Is found nowhere in the Bible. Okay? We sometimes, oftentimes experience more like, this is more than I can handle, which is just another reminder that we need him. And we need the Holy Spirit helping us, empowering us, strengthening us in our life, okay? Some people will say, oh, that must have been God's will. And sometimes they say that in response to tragedy. Like, seriously, that God's will was that tragic thing? Like, God made that happen? That was his will? Okay, I think we need to really fully study and understand what is God's will. And so sometimes we mistakenly believe that or even say that. Some people mistakenly believe God wants me to be happy. That's really God's goal. And so, again, where will you find that in the Bible? Nowhere. God, did Jesus really die on the cross and think, I'm so glad I'm doing this so that you could be happy? It's probably not what he was thinking on the cross. So He wants us to have moments of happiness, yes, enjoy life, abundant life, all of that. But happiness is circumstantial. Joy goes beyond circumstances. But Jesus is more concerned about your holiness than he is your happiness, all right? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Some people like that theology, that doctrine. Cleanliness is next to godliness, okay? Let me just say, cleanliness is actually a good thing. I hope that you're growing in your ability to be cleanly. Clean. And people will appreciate it if you are clean, but it is not a status symbol of your spirituality. Okay, it is not next to godliness, okay? When you die, God gains another angel. That's another one of those like funny sayings that sometimes people will say, but like that is completely not theologically or doctrinally correct. And sometimes people will say things we've all been there, okay? We mean well, we're trying to comfort and encourage, like, I'm so sorry for your loss, I guess God needed another angel. And like, okay, when you look at the Bible, like, angels are completely different beings than people. And so when we die and we go into heaven, we're not angels all of a sudden. We don't have wings playing harps flying around in the clouds, okay? That's not who we are. Because God created angels and he created men and women, okay? They're two different people with different destinies, all right? So we could go on and on with false beliefs, but we've all been there with some of those and other ones of those. Yet are we still saved? Are we still going to heaven? Yes, thankfully. And also thankfully we learn along the way what good doctrine is and good theology and who God really is. God's grace is there for all of that, right? And so we're all in process. We're all learning, yet thankfully we know we can be true believers even and believe things that are maybe a little bit off. And so I think that's what's going on with these believers here, these 12 disciples in Ephesus. Yes, they're true believers. They know about Jesus. They're following Jesus, but they need to learn a little bit more, specifically in regards to the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, right? We have not even heard about the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, okay, we need to pray for that. You need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. Okay, again, that's what we're talking about here this morning. We cannot live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's really what Paul is teaching us in this story in Acts chapter 19. Hey, 25 years after the church was started, the church still needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And oh, by the way, he's not saying, hey, you guys aren't even true believers. You don't even have the Holy Spirit. No, he recognizes they're true believers. And as true believers, they would already have the Holy Spirit in them, right? Because that happens at the moment of salvation. And so he's saying, I want you to be empowered and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that's why when you laid hands on them, they'll begin to speak in tongues, begin to prophesy, because they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So apparently Paul thought that was important enough that it was his first question, and he laid hands on them and prayed for them to receive that gift. And so it's just a reminder for us that, yes, as a Christian, I have the Holy Spirit. But then there's this other gift that God wants to give us, not to make me a better Christian or a better person, but to give me greater boldness and greater empowerment to be a witness for Jesus. And so these guys actually would have understood this because they knew the teachings of John the Baptist, right? They had heard about the baptism of John and John's teaching and following Jesus and all that. Here's the words of John the Baptist, Matthew 3. He said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, speaking of Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so they would have been familiar with this, yet apparently the part of the Holy Spirit and the fire, that they struggled, they didn't quite catch and grasp all of that. And then later on, Jesus himself would say, and he talked about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit coming and being the comforter and the counselor. But then in Acts chapter 1, we've looked at this already, but remember Jesus saying, hey, before you go and start the church, before you go forth with the message of the gospel, go and wait. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, is what Jesus said. Everybody say, on you. Okay, so at conversion, at salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in us. And then there's this place and this moment where the Holy Spirit can come on us and baptize us and then fill us with more of him. And the purpose of that is to give us greater boldness, greater faith, to allow God to use us to see and to do greater things. And again, Paul is doing this 25 years later, which shows us this is still an important thing that we want to see take place in the church. If it is important then in the church, it's important to us still today. We cannot live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. So, A lot of us, we know that. Many of us were saved in here. We've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But how are we living this thing out? Because let's be real. Too often, too many Christians live life in their own strength and their own power. We push the Holy Spirit aside. We neglect the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. And if I'm honest and I'm being real this morning, I do that way too often. Where I don't allow the Holy Spirit to fill me and to empower me to do what he's called me to do on a daily basis. We do this way too much. And so this story is another reminder to us. This message I want to encourage you with to make sure that you are somebody that really does live this thing out. Allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to live the life that you want to live and that God has called you to live. Don't push the Holy Spirit away in your life. Constantly look to him. Pray, Holy Spirit, fill me again today. I need you today as I go and whatever you're going to do that day. I need you. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom today for this decision I have with my job or at home. Holy Spirit, fill me. Empower me today. Strengthen me. Holy Spirit, I need you again today. Fill me. Well, make that a regular part of your life, even throughout the day. It's important for you and I to look to the Holy Spirit so that we don't get caught up doing this thing on our own strength. And here's the great news is that the more we rely on him, the more we live this life that we're called to live and that we actually want to live. The more he helps us to say no to sin and yes to Jesus and yes to the things that we really want to live. I'm convinced of this, guys, is that we miss out on so many things because we don't allow the Holy Spirit to really lead us and empower us in life. And let us not live that way anymore. And let's be people of the Spirit on a regular basis, not just on a Sunday morning, but every single day. Let the Holy Spirit empower you. And how would your life change? What would be different if you really, really, fully allowed the Holy Spirit to empower you to live this life that you're living? Obviously, it's not possible for us to constantly always be thinking about God and spiritual things and all that kind of stuff. But I believe he even still, subconsciously, he uses us and empowers us as we take time throughout the day to recognize him and pray these prayers. And God will use you, God will anoint you, even in simple, normal conversations, the workplace and the neighborhood. God will give you opportunities to reach out and connect with the world around you. Hey, wouldn't you know, Amy and I, man, we showed up at home the night of Trunk or Treat. And I was shocked, by the way, that I got home at 9:30. Everything was cleaned up. I was the last one to leave. Locked everything up. I mean, you all did awesome. Like, I was home at 9:30, and I'm like, wow. Everyone just cleaned this place up amazing. And so I'm home at 9:30, and I walk into my house. I hear a whole bunch of people. And I'm like, what's going on in my house? I walk around, and there's like six people in my entryway. Come to find out it's my neighbors. One of them had come up to the door, and it's a relative had come to the door and connected with Amy, and Amy's like, man, we've wanted to meet your family who lives across the cul-de-sac from us, and so they all came over and said hi, and so wouldn't you know, we went and joined them at their party. They're having a big party. Everyone was dressed up. I mean, there was a guy wearing Donald Trump inflatable diaper thing. It was awesome. You know, there was vampires and all these, I mean, and we're just hanging out at this party. It was awesome. We're meeting our neighbors, getting to know our neighbors, hearing their story, having a blast, just connecting and hanging out in the backyard with all these people. And it was just amazing. Like, I thought I was going home and going to bed, but I got an opportunity to connect with my neighbors. I loved it because they're super cool people. And is this a chance to build a relationship with them? You just never know how God's going to open doors for things, guys. Never know. And I pray that you would live a life where you're constantly surprised by what God does. That's my prayer. I pray that people would look at your life and say, I know you, and there's no way you could do that. That must be God in you. And too many of us live a life that is, what could we say? It's explainable. But the unexplainable life is a life where we're really allowing the Holy Spirit to live through us and empower us and to use us to do greater things than you and I could ever do. And I pray that we'd be people of the Spirit like that and live the inexplainable life. God wants to use you. He can use you if you and I will let him. So, many of you, you've received the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on, use it, walk in it. Maybe you've never committed your life to Jesus. Maybe today's the day for you to do that. I'd encourage you to pray that prayer. Start there. Take that first step. Commit your life to Jesus and let us know. We want you to get water baptized from there and go public with your faith. But maybe you've already committed your life to Jesus, but you've never received that gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And today we want to take some time to pray for you in that, because we really believe that you see it in Scripture years after Acts chapter 2. We believe that's a gift that God wants to give you. And so today's a day for you to ask for that gift. Maybe you've asked for it before and it's never happened for whatever reason. I would encourage you today again, ask for it. I've heard of people out for decades pray for that gift and then it finally happened. Amy again told me a story just a couple months ago when she got back from ladies' retreat. A bunch of ladies went on a ladies' retreat in September. She's like, I gotta pray for this lady who was in her 60s, had been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit forever, and it happened at this retreat. It's super cool. So you just never know why or what, but I just know that it's in the Bible, and it's a gift that God wants to give you, not to make you a better person, a better Christian, but just to empower you to be a bolder witness for Jesus. More power of him in your life. So today, I would encourage you to ask for that gift. And if that's you, if you find yourself there, let me just give you a few things to encourage you. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please know there's just four things. Number one is it's biblical. You find it in Scripture, several places throughout Scripture. Number two, it's for normal people, not crazy radical Pentecostal Christians. And some of you need to hear that. Okay, it's for normal people just like us. Number three, it does not have to be emotional. Okay, we all respond differently to God and his presence working in our life, okay? But it doesn't have to be an emotional thing where you got tears and you're crying. You're like, okay? It's, especially if you're a guy, you're like, is that going to happen to me? Because I don't know if I want that. It doesn't have to be emotional, but it's a gift that you and I can receive. So number four, it's a gift that you can ask God for, okay? Just a few words of encouragement. And we really believe, again, that it's just something that God has for everybody. So if that's you here today, I'd encourage you to ask for that. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to take some time and we're going to pray. We're going to worship. In fact, why don't you go ahead and close your eyes right now? Let's invite the Holy Spirit to begin, even right now, moving and working in our hearts. Holy Spirit, we just call upon you to do what only you can do in these next few moments, Lord. That's soften our hearts, change our hearts, speak to us, baptize us, move us, stir us. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would move in a great way. God, stir up faith, I pray right now. The gift of faith inside of your people right now, I pray in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, move and have your way.
Thanks again for listening to this message of Bell Road Church. We hope you enjoyed it and that God spoke to you through it. Be sure to connect with us online via Twitter, Facebook, and at bellroadchurch.com.